All right, hello and welcome to Medi-Call episode 216. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
Yo,
here we are, Daryl. We got a whole new set. We got Harry Potter the Gathering going on this week, and we're going to talk about it, of course. In fact, I think we're due to start our picks game at this point because we blink and everything's here for us to do. And if we wait another week, we'll be behind and then we'll be playing the usual catch up, which, you know, by the time we get done with this, we will anyway, but might as well get a start on it. Hey,
I guess we'll have to go back to weekly to finish our picks game.
Yeah, I think so. Before we get started on that, I should say we are thankful to our wonderful sponsor, ManaTraders.com. Use the promo code CardKnockLifePodcast, all one word, after that, underscore 5YB for 14% off your first 3 months. Okay, that's a mouthful. I'm going to do it again. CardKnockLifePodcast, underscore 5YB for 14% off your first 3 months at checkout at ManaTraders.com, your leading source of MTG rental on the web. All right. So we got, like, not only a new set, but the Mystical Archives, which I think I'm most excited about with this one. Not just for the art, which I think any Commander player would be jazzed about that, or any enfranchised Magic player looking to spice up the appearance of their deck, because these are beautiful.
Yep.
But most importantly to me, these are all, with the exception of some that have been, like, banned, legal and historic.
Yep, and I'm one of them. I'm still not sure why it got banned, but sure.
So we'll go through these as if it's one of the colors, one of the sections, but I do want to read the new additions to the banned list, the new additions to the historic ban list before we even get through them, because it'll kind of help keep them in our memory as well. And then you can talk about that one that you're not sure of why it got banned. But basically these are, you know, like the, I don't know what you even call this anymore. There's always this like addendum subsection to the set that they add on that, is the alternate art
product, what Wizards call the alternate art, as it's a supplemental product. Yeah,
it is like supplemental product, though, you know. I don't know what, you know, just the treasures, right?
Treasure.
And so these go back pretty damn far. I mean, we've got cards like Swords to Plowshares on this list, so we're basically infusing like Legacy era and Modern era cards into historic with this. Okay, so the ban list. Here we go. We got Channel, Counterspell, Dark Ritual, Demonic Tutor, Lightning Bolt, Natural Order, and Swords to Plowshares. Which of those is the one that you're like, why?
One of these things not like the other, and it's Counterspell.
Oh,
like,
really?
All those other cards are broken. In a format like Historic, Counterspell is just totally fine. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, Counterspell would be a big leap for Historic. Like, if they want to be, like, including, like, more powerful counter spells, counter magic into the set, I think they need to do it a little more slowly. Like, we're getting Memory Lapse in this set, so there's one.
Yeah, so, like, if Memory Lapse is fine, like, oftentimes Memory Lapse you just play early to, like, tempo their curve, so if that's fine, just give me Counterspell.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, very rarely is the thing you're memory lapsing, like, something that you're like, oh my god, I can't have to, like, deal with that again. Like, very rarely. You're usually using that on curve to deal with something. And so it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like I traded one for one, and you drew a random card from your deck, and that random card just happened to be Llanowar Elves, or Bone Crusher Giant, or whatever. I'm just naming random cards. Like, some generic 2-drop. Grim Flayer, you know? You just happen to draw Grim Flayer. But I traded one for one. I did what my Counterspell was supposed to do. And so, like, they're functionally the same, it feels like. Just give me Counterspell. Like, no reason not to.
Well, that card could have just been, like, Logic Knot, and then we could have saw what that would have done in the format, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it could have been. But that's my spiel. Everything else is totally fine. So let's talk about fancy alternate art cards for whatever color we're going to start with.
Yeah. So first of all, let me just point out that a lot of these have like some really funky, re-rarity, reallocating of rarity. I don't know how to say it, but basically they're going to eat up a lot of your wild cards if you want to add these to your collection in Arena. So that's kind of the downside of this. The big ones are like, there's some commons that have become now rares, like Mana Tithe, which is kind of a pain in the ass, and it's hard to come by rares, rare wild cards in Arena, so you'll definitely
use them on your mana base.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to use them on your mana base for sure. Okay, so here's the list. I'm going to read down the whole list, and then we'll go back and just kind of catch what we can. Approach of the Second Sun, Day of Judgment, Defiant Strike, Divine Gambit, Ephemerate, Gift of Estates, God's Willing, Mana Tithe, Revitalize, Swords to Plowshares, and Tephri's Protection for white. You want to do blue?
Yeah, I'll read blue. I got Blue Sun Zenith, Brainstorm, Compulsive Research, Counterspell, Memory Lapse, Mind's Desire, Negate, Opt, Strategic Planning, Tezzeret's Gambit, Time Warp, and Whirlwind Denial.
Okay, black, Agonizing Remorse, Crux of Fate, Dark Ritual, Demonic Tutor, Doomblade, Duress, Eliminate, Inquisition, Sign and Blood, Tainted Pack, Tendrils of Agony, and Village Rites.
Wait, what?
Tendrils of Agony? Is that what you're wanting?
No, Tainted Pact.
Yeah, Tainted Pact.
How is that not banned? Okay, I have
it is not banned.
More problems. Yep. Okay, I'm just going to keep on going here.
I mean, there's for a lot red, of stuff that's extremely powerful on this list.
Yep, for red, we have Chaos Warp, Claim the Forceborn, Faithless Looting, Grape Shot, Increasing Vengeance, Infuriate, Lightning Bolt, Mizzix's Mastery, Shock, Stone Rain, Thrill of Possibility, and Urza's Rage.
Green, Abundant Harvest, which is a new card. Adventurous Impulse, Channel, Cultivate, Harmonize, Crossing Grip, Natural Order, Primal Command, Regrowth, Snakeskin Veil, and Weather the Storm.
And then for multicolor, we have D-Spark, Electrolyze, Growth Spiral, Lightning Helix, and Putrefy.
Seemingly a pretty random collection of stuff.
Yeah, these they have no connection. So are we going to do all the fancy cards and then go back and do all the Strixhaven cards? Is that how we're going to do it?
Yeah, let's do that. But let me just ask, why is Weather the Storm freaking rare? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Some of these just don't make any sense to me.
Brand new Storm card. They want your wild cards. Corey, give me your wild cards.
Some of these are uncommons, though. Like, I mean, many of the commons got upgraded to uncommons, like Shock and Infuriate. None of them are commons, right? Let me put it that way.
Give me your wild cards, Corey. That's the answer.
But why that one? Why that one a rare? I don't get it. Okay. Anyways, let's go. So go back to white, then. Is there anything in white that stands out to you?
Ephemerate.
Yeah.
Ephemerate is the big one. That card just like it lets a whole deck archetype kind of exist. If there's literally anything in Historic that can get a spell back from your graveyard at all and put it in your hand, there's a deck. We did it. We made a deck.
Now is there? There's stuff that can return permanents back to your hand, but I don't think we have like E-Witness straight up. So I don't see like a Soul Herder type being built.
Yeah. Someone's going to use this, though. Like, this is going to get used in some Blinky-style deck. And then if something like E-Witness comes along in one of the many Infinity supplemental products they put out for this format, it's going to be broken.
Yeah. I think Mana Tithe is pretty cool. I don't know if that's going to see a ton of play in Historic, but and that's another one that's a rare, by the way.
Isn't Stone Rain in this list, too? So, like...
Yeah.
So, like, you have the nice little land destruction thing going on. You can do Stone Rain them and Mana Tithe them.
Yep, you can. Yeah.
Give me a 1-2. Yeah, I definitely expect Mana Tithe to see some play. And then the only other card I see that someone might try and utilize as, like, a buffer is, like, Teferi's Protection.
Yeah. Yeah, that one we haven't really seen many opportunities in, like, constructed formats, aside from, like, the really old... Eternal Legacy formats, right? So that will be interesting to see how that shows up in these types. Now, it doesn't give you the ETB triggers. You know, we had this conversation when this card was first spoiled for the Commander set, so that's notable. I don't know. There is a card similar to Teferi's Protection for 4 mana in the set proper that we'll probably talk about later on. So if that's kind of the thing you're looking for, like, we kind of have a good, like, version of that. I do want to point out God's Willing is going to be a big player in this format because there are a ton of Yeah, there's a lot of shenanigans with the Enchantress type stuff. There's SRAM and core whatever, the core that draws you cards.
Spirit Dancer.
Yes, that one. Yep. So I think God's Willing probably goes in those decks, but I'm not sure because they already have like the dog in there that can sacrifice and stuff like that, and the little enchantment dude. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So it is a strong. It is one of the strongest versions of that effect for one mana. So there will be something that wants it. Maybe it's just a feather deck. I don't know.
Yeah. So are we ready to head on to the next color? Because I don't think anything else gets talked about.
Yep. Blue. Blue's a big one, though.
Literally all of them, I think.
I mean, a lot of them are already in blue. Like Negate and Opt are not new. Strategic Planning, not new.
So let's. I didn't know Strategic Planning wasn't new. But I think it's literally all of them. Like Blue Sun Zenith, you'll see playing control decks and maybe ramp decks if you get some sort of blue Lotus Field shenanigans going on. It's a good like kill condition for Lotus Field decks.
Yeah.
If you make a crap ton of mana and then like cast this thing for X equals a bazillion. Brainstorm along with Faithless Looting, adding some cantrips to get your boy Arclight Phoenix going. Making that maybe a relevant magic card. Compulsive Research.
Brainstorm, big deal.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brainstorm, big deal for Phoenix, I think, especially. I think people overvalue Brainstorm because you see its power in, like, the fetch land formats. Obviously, we don't have fetch lands in Historic. We do have the one fetch land, the Fabled Passage. Fabled Passage, right?
Yeah, Fabled Passage. So, you can also just combine this with Search for Ezcanta and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I heard Ross Merriam talking about this because I listened to their podcast. Like, he's like, you can set up Magmatic Channeler with it. If that's kind of your bag, you can discard a card to Magmatic Channeler and mill two and hide a spell that you want to play and get rid of like an extra bad card. You know, these are all things that you have that are available to you. I talked about Memory Lapse. It's just a good counter spell. Compulsive Research is just like a good mid-range draw spell for blue control decks. Draw three is huge, and your control decks play so many lands that you're usually not, like, unless you're like land light and you need all your lands, like discarding a land is like a non-cost. In your 26 27 land decks, whatever.
Those blue decks are playing that draw three, discard an enchantment or discard two card.
I mean, that card's an instant. Compulsive Research is a sorcery, so there's the difference, but Compulsive Research, like, discarding a land card is not a large downside. Is like, discarding an enchantment or something that may be pivotal to your strategy or you may need to hold on to. Lands are usually the first thing to go in abundance. So, Mind's Desire, someone's going to figure out how to break this card. That's just not even reasonable. I don't know if you played Vintage when Mind's Desire first came out. I knew people that played Vintage, so I like got to play with them. I obviously didn't own any of these cards. But I just watched someone like cast a Mind's Desire for like five and hit another Mind's Desire and like three other spells. And so they played all the other spells and they casted Mind's Desire again for nine. And I was just like, well, this isn't reasonable. Like,
no.
How does anyone beat this?
Yeah. There's an awful lot of storm stuff in these cards, so I'll be interested to see what gets played and how. But I think we're gonna hate it, you know.
Oh no, I think Historic is going to be way worse off, and they're just going to ban literally every card with the word storm on it.
Oh man,
there's a reason why the storm scale was a 10. It's literally called the storm scale, and storm is a 10, and Morrow hates it because this just can't go well. Tezzeret's Gambit, nice one for Planeswalker decks. Another one of those three mana divination that gives you a tiny fragment of upside if you play a lot of Planeswalkers. I don't know if there's a Time Warp deck, but Simic plus X can just always be a Time Warp deck. So I'm sure someone will find a Time Warp deck somewhere. Yeah.
I mean, any of those decks that are like, you know, now you don't have the Woodland Reformation anymore. Wilderness Reclamation, that's the one. Thank you for knowing what the hell I'm talking about. But I think this card still has like a lot of applications. You know, there's like a lot of planeswalker based decks that would benefit from this sort of thing. Obviously this gives you activations on your walkers.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Time Warp is always, like, if there's, like, a decent Planeswalker pile, Time Warp can just kind of push it over the top to go along with Tezzeret's Gambit. Like, that's a good base for Planeswalker pile.
Yeah.
And then Whirlwind Denial is just, like, I think this is available already, but this card's just very good.
Yeah, this one's available already. This one has been out for a while. And it's not seeing any play currently, so...
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I guess there's just not... I guess, like, there's mana in abundance when your opponent, like, tries to Muxus you or whatever, so you don't, like, Muxus the trigger or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a card that I haven't really thought about recently. I do like this one a lot, and I do like this one in Modern, too, for, you know, like, Eldrazi reasons, and we talked about that quite a bit when it came out. But it might be that it's just too expensive. Three mana is just a little too slow. Muxus can go off on turn three.
That's fair. Yeah, I just don't know how fast that Muxus deck is, so that's fair.
So are we good on blue?
Well, yeah, let's formalize this though. I want to put this down for white. It sounds like you've got Ephemerate, Mana Tithe,
and these
are historic picks, and Teferi's Protection. I'm going to pick Ephemerate, Mana Tithe, and God's Will. I'm going to pass into Teferi's Protection.
Right.
For blue, we both picked Brainstorm. Mind's Desire, you picked.
I'm going to take Blue Sun, Brainstorm.
Yeah, Blue Sun.
Compulsive Research, Memory Lapse, Mind's Desire, and Time Warp.
Yeah, Memory Lapse I've got as well. Time Warp I'll take as well.
And Mind's Desire we both
have. Compulsive Research. Mind's Desire, I'm not going to pick.
I'm taking that because there's just some psychopaths out there that are going to figure it out and make us all look stupid.
And you will not pick Gambit, I take it?
No Gambit.
Okay, I can't remember if that one's already in the format. I think that might be part of the... Was that in the anthology?
Well, it might be in an anthology, but it is not part of the format.
Okay.
As far as, like, cards have been released, I was concerned.
Okay. All right, then going on to black. This is Agonizing Remorse.
Yes.
That card's old school. That one's already in the format. Not old school. It's new school. It's new school enough to be in historic already. Crux of Fate is interesting. There's already like some pretty good wrath in historic.
This is the best black wrath, right? Other than Damnation and Toxic Deluge, obviously.
Languish. We have Languish.
Yeah, I think I'm taking this like that. I think this is the best black wrath.
You like that one? Okay. And maybe there's a dragon deck out there. I don't know. I'm not going to pick this one, but I don't know. I mean, it's just, there's just so many other options, and I don't think that you're ever going to be in like a mono black deck in need of a wrath spell. So you probably have access to something better.
Okay.
I imagine we both want Inquisition of Kozilek. It seems like,
yeah, I think Doomblade isn't good enough for historic.
Yeah.
Just kind of worth mentioning, I think Duress and Eliminate are already in the format. We both want Inquisition. I'll take Sign and Blood, too.
That might be in the format already? I think it is.
If it is, sweet. If not, I'm taking it.
Okay, let me check that one out, and I'll put you down for it. Actually, I can look right now. Historic, not legal. Okay, so yeah, you can have it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there will just be a midrange deck that plays this. Like, someone will try and make mono black work or something like that.
You know, there's an 8-rack deck, in fact, and I think Inquisition makes the cut there, and Sign and Blood probably does too.
Yeah, perfect.
So the card that I'm befuddled and puzzled by is Tainted Pact.
Yeah?
Because of the most broken shit.
You faded out for a second there. You want to say that again?
Because Tainted Pact is extremely broken.
Oh, yeah.
If created correctly.
Explain how that card works exactly. Because it's confusing.
I will read the card and then I will explain it. Exile the top card of your library. You may put that card into your hand unless it has the same name as another card exiled this way. Repeat this process until you put a card into your hand or you exile two cards with the same name, whichever one comes first. So I'm going to explain it from the perspective that I know the best, which is, it's the most broken thing in Commander, and enables really dumb stuff. So you cast Tainted Pact, and I'm going to say that I have a commander deck with six basic lands. It's three colors, snow basics and regular basics, one of each, and then a commander deck. So I have no duplicates in my deck. So I'm going to cast Taste Pact. I can reveal the top card of my library. If I like that card, I can keep it. If not, it goes to my exile pile, and I reveal the next card on my deck. I repeat this process until I find a card that I want. Because I have a commander deck with all singletons, I will never hit the same card twice. So I will never stop the process for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is used, mostly used as in Commander is a degenerate combo piece with Thassa's Oracle. Because your deck is entirely singleton, you cast Thassa's Oracle, and with Thassa's Oracle's trigger on the stack, you cast Tainted Pact. And you reveal the top card of your library, and it's a card that you do not want. And you repeat this process until you have no cards in your library, and then you resolve the Thassa's Oracle trigger. And you win the game.
Yeah, and while both of those cards are going to be legal and historic, you would have to play a deck that has one Thassa's Oracle and one Tainted Pact for that to work out, right?
You can actually play two Tainted Pact.
Okay, right. You have one in your deck.
Correct.
You could even play two Thassa's Oracles, couldn't you? So you'd have one in play.
Yeah, you could play two Thassa's Oracles as well, yes. But the key here is that Tainted Pact is an instant. So it's like you could play this control deck and just fire it off at the end of your opponent's turn and like find a land or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And have your Tainted Pact just be, oh, here's a land. Or here's a counterspell that I need or something of that nature. So, but like, there's definitely, so like the problem I have with Tainted Pact, like you can see where I'm going. Tainted Pact plus Thassa's Oracle is going to be a thing that I feel like is just going to happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Something like it.
And what'll happen is it'll probably be in more than two colors because I don't know what the lands really look like in historic because I don't play it a lot. But the key here is having enough lands with different names to make your deck go. And that's kind of hard to do with two colors. It's tough to do with two colors in Legacy. And so I would imagine it's tough to do with two colors in Historic because there are even less lands.
There's an awful lot now, and I think that in blue black, not only do you have Thassa's Oracle, you also have the Jace that has the same victory condition. You can play a third color for like ramp spells, like Simic stuff.
Yeah, I would play green just because you also get like Abrupt Decay and Assassin's Trophy
and you get removal. Yeah,
you get removal and things like that.
And you might as well because if you're playing all those non-basic lands anyway. You're going to have access to that third color. Your deck's going to be slower, but you're going to have access to that third color.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the key is, like, you don't want your deck to be slow because, like, you don't want to have, like, 97 coming to play tap lands. You know, some just egregious exaggeration. You're going to want, like, as many untapped lands as possible so that your deck functions while also 15 your mana.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so, like, I've seen it in Commander and in... Canadian Highlander, which is basically Commander with no Commander, as either Esper or Sultai. Not a lot of Grixis love for the fish combo, but this can definitely go places for sure. Because I mean, if you look at it, just like talk about Simic, if you sketch it out, you have Oracle plus Tainted Pact, some number of those. You get, you know, all the best removal. You get the best ramp spells, and you get the blue interaction and the black interaction as far as discard count or encounter management.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of like hammering down how many Oracle packs you want to play and then making sure you have enough singletons to cover sort of the diverse spectrum of answers versus interaction versus proactive things and setup.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like very hard to interact with this combo because like I think two is the right number because if you draw one of each and you just fire it off, even killing the Oracle doesn't stop you from winning the game. They have to have something like Oracle.
Trigger is still on the stack.
Well, even it's not that the trigger is still on the stack. It says if it's X or less, Devotion to Blue.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
You could have zero devotion to blue and still win the game by just milling your whole library.
Yeah, Oracle is stupid.
Yeah, or the text on Oracle not making sense. You can play Jace's, one Jace as a backup, but you have to draw the card with Jace and have it stay on the field. So, like, Oracle is clearly superior, and you want to play, like, two of them.
Do you have to be able to draw a card with Jace? It has to be the last card.
Yes.
Okay, so that doesn't work, does it?
You have to lab man. You have to draw from an empty library.
Okay, all right. So you have to try to draw.
If you plus Jace and cast Tainted Pact in response and exile your whole deck, if they don't kill it, you win the game.
Yeah, okay. So that would work.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, there's enough there that it's definitely going to be something that it's tried. And it sounds stupid as hell. And I hope that it isn't something that just is egregious to the point where it gets banned. Because it's a stupid combo that obviously doesn't leave you a lot of room to interact. But they're kind of playing with fire a little bit, aren't they?
Yeah. That's why I was so confused when you read that Tainted Pact was in this set. I just, like, couldn't believe my eyes.
Well, yeah, it's in the set, and it's not banned yet. Well, anyways, let's wrap up black. There's a couple of cards left. I assume you're taking Tendrils of Agony.
There's going to be something dumb that happens, yeah. I don't know what it is.
Okay, and then Village Rites is already in Historic. Obviously, it's a big player in Historic.
I would take that, but it's already there.
So. Yeah, it's cool. Cool new art, though, so I'm excited about that. I wonder if these are really just going to be as easy as just, like, cashing in on some wild cards for them, or if you have to wait and, like, buy them from the store or something stupid. That would be awful. They have to do wild cards.
You know what would be really dope?
What's that?
Is if they did a Strixhaven Anthology box where you could pay like $40 and get four copies of every one of the anthology cards, or like whatever an equivalent reasonable amount of dollars would be.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I was trying to think of what the number would be for them to like be satisfied with that, and it's got to be like upwards of 50 something.
Yeah,
just because there's so many mythics and rares in here.
Totally reasonable. I don't know what the dollar amount is, but like as a person who has less time and more money. Mm-hmm. I would do that if I was playing Arena. I'd be like, here's my dosh, here's my cash. Give me the things I want so that I can do the things I want to do.
Yeah, I feel similarly. It's just so fiddly to like think like you can't like. I don't want to have to just pay. This card is worth $5. The company decides this when they preview the cards, and that's what it's going to be. Like you buy it from the market, right? That seems awful. But at the same time, I also don't want it to be like predetermined but not clear to me what that cost is, and I just have to buy packs until eventually I've like reached the average likelihood of like having enough wild cards to get them or like pulling them. And that's kind of how it is right now. It's like you need like this many play sets of cards, and like you really don't know exactly what that cost is going to be until you go through the process and you just shell out, and you have to play this guessing game of what's the best deal that I can that I can acquire. Because, the more you spend at a time, the more packs you're going to get. So that you can increase your odds of getting it with that amount of cards and not have to, like, buy more packs, right?
Yep.
So, fortunately, I've been able to avoid that entirely and just, stick with my core decks and just make some minor tweaks to them with, the few wild cards I'll get from drafting and stuff like that. But if I was a new player looking at this game right now, I'd be in for a world of hurt because there would be a hell of a lot of rares and wild card mythics that I need to build up.
Yeah. Yeah. This game suffers from the same problem that Hearthstone has, where if like you're enfranchised and you want to do things, it's not that bad.
No, it's not.
But if you're not, it's just an egregious uphill climb.
Yeah, and fortunately, I'm one that's been keeping up with it from the beta. But for you, for example, you haven't been playing Arena. Like you've been playing Magic the whole time. But now, if you decided that you wanted to get into this, if this format ever looks appealing to you, like how do you do it? It's just I can't even imagine what that looks like.
I wouldn't because like the depth of like how many different things like. Like, so, I like to play Control, so I'd have to 12 rare wild cards for my Esper lands, and then some rare wild cards for my Wraths, and then some rare wild cards for my Teferis, and then, like, there's so many slots that I'd have to just acquire so many different, like, one and two ofs to try and figure out what fits the best in those slots. And so I would just be down so many wild cards and so much purchasing that it just wouldn't be worth it to me.
Yeah. You could probably piece something together for about $100 that would be playable. Yeah. And then just go from there. Just kind of cobble together the rest of the pieces as you get them. And honestly, when you start a new account, you are placed pretty low on the totem pole with your ranking. And when a new set comes out, you can play a lot of limited magic because there's a lot of players that are drafting and playing sealed events. And if you have any semblance of skill, you can usually like farm some points that way. And I'm not saying to take advantage of players, but you need to acquire some cards.
To me, limited is not enjoyable. Yeah, it's a chore. I don't want to sit through a chore to be able to go do what I want to do. So, like, to me, that's just, again, we're looking at, I would rather turn my dollars into time.
Fair enough.
Well, let's talk about red cards.
Yeah, okay. All right, there's a little tangent there, but it's worth talking about. Yeah. Chaos Warp is a card that I absolutely love for Commander. It's like the card that does all the things that red can't at instant speed. And I wonder if it's enough to be, like, the perfect sideboard card for a deck like, I don't know, say Goblins or something that just gets stumped by some kind of enchantment or artifact or something that tells them that you can't do your combo. Now,
I mean, this would just be fine for like a Jun Sacrificer or something like that if they want like a very global piece of removal.
That could be, yeah.
Just another answer to Cage that also can do something in like another matchup. Like, it's an answer to Cage that isn't embarrassing in like a control matchup.
Yeah, and Cage is easy enough for red to deal with, but this is like having the upside of getting like anything else is good enough. Like dealing with Planeswalkers is very good.
You can also just do this to yourself when they don't have the Cage. Like
you could.
In Commander, the use I've had for Chaos Warp more often than not is like my opponents are doing nothing.
Turn your land into something. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, my opponents are doing nothing. And so I just cash in a basic land and try and turn it into something. And if I get a land back, okay, I got a land back. If I like hitting an instant or sorcery really hurts, but like if you just hit like a big permanent, like okay, cool, here's my big permanent. Go, like.
Yep. All right.
So yeah, that's kind of my. I'm gonna take it with the Faithless Lugian. I think is a slam dunk, no brainer.
Yeah, I took Chaos Warp. Obviously, taking Faithless Lugian. I'm extremely excited to play this one. I've been playing a lot of Phoenix and Historic even prior to this card, so I'm looking for the glory days to come back.
This also opens up Dreadhorde Arcanist decks like the red black.
Oh my god.
Some other color. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have Inquisition and Thoughtseize. You have Faithless Lugian. You have Magmatic Channeler, and Dreadhorde Arcanist is card advantage engines.
Well, like, those decks are already very good in Historic Dreadhorde Arcanist decks. There's Thoughtseize and Dreadhorde Arcanist and Village Rites and Stitcher Supplier and stuff. What?
Young Peasy a thing in this format?
Young Pyromancer's in the deck, yep. Yeah, so this card is like just perfect for it. I mean, this card is dangerous for Historic in on so many levels. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. Grape Shot. One of the greatest storm spells of all time. I don't think that
we're just buying all the storm spells because like someone's going to figure out how to do something stupid.
I don't know. I can't think of like an infinite combo. However, like Modern Storm doesn't infinite combo either. And I don't know if there's really enough like of the add mana spells to do like a Modern Storm equivalent in Historic. So we're going to have to be a little more creative about the way that we go about Grape Shot.
So in Historic. The bears are there, like the discount bears are all there.
So instead of
like looking at add X mana, you're looking at like the cards that like draw some number of cards, make some treasure. And so getting your mana from treasure. If like you're trying to get to like the biggest payoff is like Brass's Bounty makes 2 mana, like if that's how high you want to go, but like it's mostly like the 3 and 4 mana draw 2 cards make 2 treasure. You have a couple of the bears in play, they're net even. You make 2 treasure. It's draw 2 cards, add it to the storm count, float mana, whatever. Like that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah, you can play that dragon that doubles your treasure output.
Oh, Goldspan Dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's cool. Been playing a big red deck with him in it. Lately. Okay, so I'm going to pick Grape Shot too.
You just buy all the storm cards, including Weather the Storm, because someone's going to like. The Weather the Storm's going to be in sideboards to make sure you don't die to the storm cards, and then people are going to try and figure out how to break the storm cards.
All right, so Increasing Vengeance, a pass on this one.
Infuriate's just like a giant growth. That's not particularly great. +3/+2.
Yeah, Infuriate's already in Historic.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Mizzix Mastery, I think, is someone's going to be able to break that. You can just, like, dump your graveyard in your, like, deck into your graveyard and then overload this thing and play the whole thing.
Okay.
So someone's going to break that.
Okay.
Stone Rain is, I think, yeah. Someone's going to try and build the Stone Rain deck, the Ponza deck, so.
Yep. I'll pick Stone Rain.
And Thrill of Possibility. Just, like, if people are playing the, like, draw two, discard a card, looting card, like, this is just the better, the upgraded version that happens at instant speed.
So. That's already in Historic as well, so that one is...
I did good. Not remember that. Cool.
This shock art is really cool. I mean, all of these arts are really cool. And, by the way, we haven't really talked about the Japanese versions of these, too. You can get a Japanese version that looks almost entirely different from these original, or yeah. These other alternate versions, so... Those exist too. Okay, so that's red for you. Urza's Rage. I don't think we need to cover that one. It seems bad. Okay. All right. Green. That brings us to a brand new card here, Abundant Harvest, which is pretty cool. One single green mana for a sorcery. Choose a land or non-land, choose land or non-land. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a card of the chosen kind. Put that card into your hand and the rest in the bottom of your library in a random order.
Yep. That's
a weird card.
Not really. It's just a single abundance trigger.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. If you've played the card Abundance in Commander, it's two green enchantment. Whenever you draw a card, choose land or non land. Reveal cards till reveal one of the type. Shuffle and put it on the bottom.
Yeah, like, and Abundance is an enchantment that does that every upkeep. This is
Every draw you take is Abundance. This is just a green cantrip. So yeah, Abundance is every draw. This is one instance of Abundance for a green mana, basically. So it's a cantrip. It replaces itself. And you can always hit that land if you need to, or you can just, like, you're a cantrip and you're like, oh, I hope I don't hit a land with my cantrip. You can just say non-land and, like, blow past the lands and get a spell. So.
Yeah.
Not an unreasonable cantrip, I don't think. I think it will see play.
Okay, I'll pick it too. I have a hard time evaluating this one.
I guess it's just, like, from my experience of having casted Abundance and Commander enough, like, if I cast my Abundance for 4 mana and it made it around to my turn and I drew a card, I was like, okay, that's pretty worth it, like, with the upside of, like, getting to do it over and over again. And, like, if I drew a card and my opponents killed my Abundance, I, like, felt bad because I put so much tempo into it, but, like, I was like, yeah, Abundance did its job, like.
Yeah.
So, like, being able to have this, like, 1 mana trigger of Abundance that, like, replaces itself. Totally fine with.
Yeah. In the next row, the only one worth talking about here is Harmonize. The others are already in Historic or Banned. Harmonize, draw 3 cards.
Yeah, I think that'll see play. I think Primal Command is worth kind of throwing down some discussion about.
I'll pick Harmonize, too.
Yeah.
Primal Command, I think, will see play, too. And I think there's already talk about, like, the Ponza deck and what that might look like. Primal Command might belong in there.
Red-green Stone Rain, Primal Command, yeah. Yep. I think Weather the Storm will just see play to try and counteract the other Storm cards and Storm kills as a sideboard card. It's also just good against, like, burn decks.
Yeah. We're passing Kross and Grip. That one you don't think is going to see play, huh?
Not really. I mean, how many counter spells are there that are stopping the things that are trying to kill your one enchantment?
Yeah, probably not.
Like, maybe. It's kind of the way. But yeah, that's that. We want to talk about the gold cards. I think the only one that's not in the format right now, there's two, I think. I'm not sure if Putrefy is. And that's Electrolyze and Lightning Helix.
Yeah, big deals. I mean, pick them both. Obviously, they're great.
Yeah, is Putrefy in the format?
Putrefy is not in the format. We have Mortify it. So, yeah, Putrefy would be new, too. That would be worth picking.
Yeah, I picked that, too. Yeah, you know, I just assumed it was in the format already. But, yeah, it's good.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put us down for all three of those. I'm picking the same bunch. I wish that the rock decks were more prevalent in this format, and I'm hoping that they will be one day, but all of these really powerful cards that are coming out just make me think that, like, the decks that are, like, really fast and combo-y are just going to become faster and more combo-y, and the presence of Putrefy in this set is not going to be the thing that helps the rock decks exist. So, I don't know. I'm not super optimistic on that type of card, but... maybe there's just a deck that needs it in the sideboard, you know?
Yep.
So, maybe. All right. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but there's only a couple of colorless cards in this set, so I thought maybe we just could wrap up with those.
So these are going to be tough, and I'm going to go over the new mechanic that's attached to these cards before we talk about them.
Yeah.
And so five of them are – let's talk about the one that's not a lesson, and then we'll talk about the mechanic. So Wandering Archaic, which is a 5-mana creature, avatar, 4/4, whenever an opponent casts instant or sorcery – they may pay whenever an opponent casts instant or sorcery spell, they may pay 2. If they don't, you may copy it and cast new targets. And then there's a backside, which I have to read, which is Explore the Vast Lands is 3 colors for a sorcery. Each player looks at the top 5 cards of the library, reveals a land or and or instant or sorcery card from among them, and puts those cards revealed in their this way into their hand, and the rest on the bottom of their library in a random order. Each player gains 3 life. I don't see you casting the backside very often, because most constructed decks have lands and instant sorceries. So both players would get to do that. And that seems pretty bad for you, as the player playing this card. So is Wandering Archaic worth it? Are we looking at that as a thing that we want to be interested in? I don't think it's even remotely close.
No, it's probably not, but I'm like, the question is, like, now we can include Modern in the conversation, and like, is this something that like Eldrazi Tron players would be interested in? And I don't know what they would want this for.
So here's what I'm actually thinking. I'm gonna go real big brain on you. This card's colorless on the backside.
Yeah.
Is Storm interested in pairing this with like its Baralls and stuff, and just being like, all right, top 5, give it a land in an instant?
No, yeah.
I kind of want to buy it for Modern just for that purpose. But that's really all I can see.
You're crazy.
That's all I can see is like playing the backside. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the place I see it fit. I want to buy it, but I know that's the only place it fits.
Yeah.
But like, I could definitely see a Storm deck doing that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pass on it entirely, but you're picking it in Modern then.
No, I'm not.
Okay,
that's the place I see it fitting, but we're not gonna pick it. So now I'll talk about the new mechanic, and then we'll talk about the lessons. So there's a new mechanic called Learn, and when you resolve a trigger of Learn, you can do one of two things. You can go outside of the game and pick a lesson card, or you can discard a card and draw a card. So you can rummage, or you can go to your sideboard and construct it and get a lesson. And so most of the lessons are sorceries. They say sorcery-lesson on them. There are some colorless ones. There are some colored ones. We're going to talk about the colorless ones. So I'm just going to read each one of them, and then we'll talk about whether or not we want them. So the first one is Environmental Sciences. It's 2 colorless for a sorcery. Search your library for a basic land card. Reveal it. Put it in your hand. Shuffle your library. You gain 2 life. So not these lessons probably aren't something you're going to want to play in your main deck.
No.
So are you willing to like give up a sideboard slot for like when you play, like, I think there's like in white, there's like a 2-mana 2/1 that learns, or like Pop Quiz is an instant that's like 2 and a blue, draw a card, learn. So like, is there like you're going to probably give a sideboard slot or 2 for your Pop Quiz to go learn something, right? Is this the thing you want to learn? I don't think Environmental Sciences is the thing you're interested in.
No, I think it's probably too late for this kind of stuff at that point, and it's a lot of work to get that done. But just in a wish board in general, like, you have to kind of consider, like, it's pretty easy to include these types of things if you're willing to sacrifice those sideboard slots. So is the 2 life something? Is, like, you know, if you're going to ramp, is that something? I'm thinking probably not, but it's this represents that axis, you know, that I think has to be present in these lessons.
It's also mana fixing. It's like a good limited card. Yeah. It's like fix your mana. You can learn, fix your mana, do all that stuff. So this one I think is actually playable, which is Expanded Anatomy. Put 2+1/+1 counters on target creature. It gains vigilance until end of turn for 3 colorless. It's a lesson. So there is like a white 2-mana 2/1 with learn. You can like learn and then go get this thing and like set yourself up to have this cast in your main phase, targeting one of your like 1-drop or 2-drop, and like have a big board and just like keep putting the pressure on. The creature is Professor of Symbology. It's a 2/1 for 1 and a white that learns. But so that's a thing. So you could go like 1 mana 2/1, 2 mana 2/1, learn, go get this out of your sideboard, cast this, make a 4/3, attack for 6 after attacking for 2 on turn 2. So like that's a thing. That's like a line that you have. Is this constructed playable for either format? I don't think the answer is yes. I think this is a little under.
Well, no, I don't think so either.
Another good limited card, though.
Yeah. Introduction to Annihilation, though. This one right here, I like.
Yeah. These next two, I think, are both good.
Yeah.
So go ahead. You started. Introduction to Annihilation.
Okay, so this one costs 5 mana, but this one like reminds me of like the Karn board options where you just need something big but does exactly what you need, and that is exile target non-land permanent. Its controller draws a card as a drawback, but exile target non-land permanent is kind of like that pinpointed removal that you need to seek out of your sideboard when, you know, times are tough.
Yeah. Breaking open a big planeswalker or creature or something like that.
Yeah.
And having this just tacked on is like something you can learn. So like, definitely, I think this is constructed playable for Historic. I don't think any of these learn cards are going to see play in Modern, unfortunately. Like maybe Introduction to Prophecy, but that's the only one. Maybe the Colored Lessons might, because I haven't read them all yet. But like in Historic, like being able to like pop quiz, draw a card, learn this thing, so you like drew a card and a removal spell.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Like, that's a pretty good 3-mana spell at instant speed. Draw an exile, target non-land permanent, and a card.
Yeah, like, it feels like Hearthstone. Totally, it feels like Hearthstone Discover. You know how they do that, where you can like choose between the two cards that they flip up. It's kind of like a curated draw.
Yeah, they give you 1 of 3, and then you choose one. Yes, I'm very familiar with Hearthstone.
Yeah, I like this. It's a cool mechanic for sure. It's really going to depend on how good the learn cards are, and we'll have to get to the rest of the colors for that. But Introduction to Prophecy is the next one. 3 mana for a sorcery. It's a common. Scry 2, then draw a card.
So 3 mana preordain. It's fixed preordain.
Yeah, fixed preordain. Colorless, though.
Yeah, fixed colorless preordain. This is another one of those cards. It's like, again, it's not embarrassing to like learn this, right? Like if you just like don't need all your sideboard slots, like it's very good and limited. And if you don't need all your sideboard slots, just having one of these to like go learn as the game goes along, not embarrassing.
And Daryl, this goes in your Baral tribal deck too, because could you imagine having a Baral and a couple of Electromancers out there and then just chaining these things together?
Yeah, there you go. in your Grizzly Bear Discounts Matter deck. I think this is Historic playable as like another one of those, like you said, the Hearthstone Discover mechanic. Would you like a random card off the top of your deck or one of these two cards?
Or would you like to pay out the ass for a little bit more choice?
Yeah, right. Yeah. But that's kind of what Discover and Hearthstone does. It kind of rolls down that road.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is like playable in Historic. It's just like a wishboard card strictly, but like not something you're going to play in your main deck.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on this one,
so
though.
I'll take it for a start.
You can have it.
Yep. And then this next one, Mascot Exhibition. 7 mana for a lesson. Create a 2/1 white-black inkling creature token with flying, a 3/2 red and white spirit token, and a 4/4 red and blue elemental token. A lot of stats.
For seven mana, by the way.
Yeah, 7 mana. I said 7 mana.
Oh, did you? Okay, I missed that.
But yeah, I did. Yeah.
It's worth saying again.
Yeah. If this was 5, I would play it. Like, that's a lot of stats. Across a lot of bodies.
Yeah, it gives you lots of stuff to do for sure.
Yeah. At 7, I'm not putting this on my side. But this is gonna be insane and limited, though.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, you're gonna learn this a lot.
You're gonna learn good.
But not good in either of these. You're gonna learn today, yeah. A lot of people have already made this joke. But yeah, not gonna see play instructed.
All right, yeah, so the only one I picked is the Destroy a Permanent one, which means that there must be some colored ones that are worth playing. Otherwise, like, why bother with the learn cards?
There are some colored ones. I'll just read one of them, and we can talk about it, and then we can call it a cast so that people know there are colored ones. And it's the white one. It's called Academic Probation. It's 1 and a white for a sorcery lesson. Choose one. Choose a non-land card. Your opponents can't cast spells with the chosen name until your next turn. Choose a non-land permanent until your next turn. It can't attack, block, and its activated abilities can't be activated.
Yeah. Yeah. In a vacuum, very weak, but as a card that can be learned, it's pretty strong.
Yeah, I think it's historic playable. I don't think it's modern playable, because the problem is what you just said. How good are the learn cards? So if I can play a well-statted learn card for that's good enough for modern, and I can learn this to stop Storm or something like that, or to have them take a turn off, or like stop a Planeswalker from ultimating, or whatever the case may be, I'm in. Down for this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reserve us having to make a judgment on it, because we haven't looked at all the learn cards yet.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to do the colored lessons last. Because we need to look at the learn cards and figure out if they're good enough. So,
all right. Well,
but that's a sample of things to come.
The future of the podcast is we're going to learn whether or not they're good.
Yep.
Pun intended. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with Cardnock Life offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CardnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Cardnock Life content.